special meeting of Amesburg Town Council to order. Is there any disclosure of pecuniary interest? Okay, seeing none, we will get to the only item, 3.1, a zoning bylaw amendment for 554 McLeod Avenue.
Through you, Mayor, as the mayor mentioned, statutory public meeting for the zoning bylaw amendment for 554 McLeod Avenue to change the zoning in two separate zones from the agricultural A zone to holding residential type 1A for a portion of it and residential type 1A for a portion of the smaller portion for two lots. These lands are designated low density residential in the town's official plan and is located within the secondary settlement area in accordance with the official plan. This would permit the development of two residential lots for the lands that will be rezoned to type 1A and a holding for the balance of the lands for a draft plan of subdivision which will proceed at such time as all the necessary studies and servicing plans have been finalized and will be subject to further public meetings in front of council at that time. To summarize, this application conforms with the town's official plan, it conforms with the county's official plan, conforms with the provincial policy statement, and is designated as our settlement area in our official plan. I would turn it over now to Jackie Lasley, who is appearing here on behalf of the applicants, George and Ruth Vanderbilt. Van Denbrink, sorry, I think I said Van Der. My apologies.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Super. Thank you. Good evening, everybody, council. As indicated, the subject lands are located within the settlement area boundaries of the town of Amherstburg. The provincial policy statement, which is our provincial level of policy statements regarding planning issues, directs that consents and subdivisions be located within the settlement area of the town. The subject lands are absolutely located within the settlement area of the town, as you can see on the map, located on McLeod Avenue. The zoning that's being requested this evening will change the land use of the two proposed severed lots, indicated here as lot one and lot two, to residential, while changing the zoning of the retained lands as well to residential, but with a holding. The holding provision will be removed after council has had an opportunity to consider the plan of subdivision and feels comfortable with the design. Also, the holding provision will be a motion of council and through a public meeting consideration of whether to continue with the removal of the holding provision. So that's council's safeguard to know that nothing can happen on the retained lands until such time as that holding provision is considered by council again. At the moment, and until such time as the holding provision is removed, the land zoning is the parent zoning, which is agricultural. The holding provision is simply a placeholder for the finalization of the plan of subdivision. The proposed plan of subdivision will consist of single detached residences, and the proposed two lots as well will be connected to municipal services as well as proposed for single detached residences. The R1A zoning is in keeping with the neighborhood of McLeod Avenue. We received through the process comments from PERCA. These comments indicated the proposed development will be contained to the area defined within the settlement area boundary. The lands subject to the zoning bylaw amendment are located well over 120 meters to the natural heritage feature known as Big Creek. The natural heritage feature has already and adequately been zoned, as you can see, for PSW, which is a provincially significant wetland. IRCA has no objection to the application being requested this evening for a zoning bylaw amendment. Dave Heyman, who was hired by the applicant as his biologist to take a look at the property, ensures that the subject lands are also well over 120 meter separation distance from the buffer area of the Big Creek. waterfowl may rest on this area, but they will not use it as a breeding ground or anything associated with waterfowl habitat. It's cropland, and because of it, it's not an area that waterfowl will be found. IRCA and MNRF have not reported any breeding grounds in this area, and of note, waterfowl hunting is actually permitted in this area. So as indicated earlier, the requested zoning bylaw amendment for the R1A for the residential lots and the R1A holding for the retained portions is consistent with the PPS, conforms with the official plan for the town, is compliant with the comprehensive zoning bylaw, and will create for harmonious zoning within the neighborhood. Any questions?
Okay, any comments from the public? Okay, seeing none, Deputy Mayor?
Can you bring the picture back up of the lots?
Sure.
So I guess to the speaker, the long-term plan, I guess, I mean, you're looking at two, putting a holding on the rest. The long-term plan is residential lots across that stretch.
Actually, there's two internal road, two little cul-de-sacs where there's going to be residential development behind it.
Okay,
the servicing of it has been designed. The lot configurations have been designed. At the moment, we're on a holding pattern ourselves until there's a hedgerow along McLeod from the east side of lot two over to the back of the property on the west side, the furthest east side. That hedgerow is being examined by MNRF. So we've been in a holding position for a couple of years now while we're taking a look at that hedgerow. Once that has been finalized, we have MNRF approval and clearance, we'll be coming to council with that.
Thank you.
Council Prue?
Just something you said there about MNRF. They have not granted approval yet.
Actually, for the rest of the property they have, for the rest of the property, they've given us clearance permit for it, but they did identify that there's a little bit of a hedgerow, actually that's perfect, along McLeod, that they're saying that they want to see if there's any significant habitat in it, and our biologist has been through and has indicated there is no significant habitat, but MNR needs that time to be able to review it.
Okay, and does MNR suggest that there are any endangered species living on or near the land?
Because of the location of Big Creek, they say quite likely all the indigenous species will be up towards the creek. Because this is cropland, they're not concerned. They're thinking that quite likely there's nothing on the property. There might be something near the hedgerow that we may have to take a look at a different configuration of the lands within the subdivision. And we may look at entrances, we may look at an alternative compensation lands where we say, for example, space at the eastern edge of the property to allow for connection to Big Creek. So we're looking at those issues, and our biologist is discussing it with MNR at the moment.
In other applications made for the town in the last couple of years, been several of them, where MNRF was involved and a CPAP agreement was necessary. Do you anticipate what is going to have to be done here? I can't imagine why not. In the middle of the field in Kingsbridge, there was a big CPAP. On Bobo Island, there's a big CPAP. This is much more, to my mind, much more biologically significant and much more endangered species likely to be here than either of those locations.
No, MNRF has already said that the property is cleared, that there is no endangered species because it is cropland.
Mm-hmm.
They've identified that. But they've said on that edge, down at the road, they want to take a look at the hedgerow a little bit further. And it might be a matter of providing a connection through the subdivision up to the Big Creek and that compensation land that would then be discussed.
And I would take it that the developer is willing to pay for whatever amounts of money are necessary do know that the other two were into the millions of dollars.
That is all up for discussion with MNRF at the moment with the biologist. From our understanding, it is a farm hedgerow that isn't significant habitat, but they're having that as discussion. If we have to provide lands up for the connection, as compensation lands, that will be undertaken. That agreement will be discussed with MNRF, but yes, it will be at the expense of the applicants.
Thank you.
Yes, okay. I'm going to go to the councilor first and then I'll come to you. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So a couple clarifications. By changing the bigger portion to holding R1, is it agricultural until at a certain point where everything's been met, all the criteria? Because I see tons of conditions from IRCA and then outside of the other agencies. So my question is, by approving the zoning amendment for holding R1 right now, is that compromising to maybe the administration? First, just leave it for agriculture right now until all the criteria have been met.
Again, that holding symbol would be there to make sure all the conditions are satisfied. So we wouldn't come back to council, including MNRF. We wouldn't come back to council until we had all those things in hand. And again, you know, there's a number of conditions. This is exactly why we put the holding on there. So you won't see this again until the applicant has satisfied this and administration is satisfied, then it would come back to council. First with a public meeting and then again another meeting, just like we will. This again is just the public meeting. We're gonna bring even this back, this zoning change back to a future meeting of council as well. Now, to remove the holding, that is another round of public meetings, and that's really the bigger portion other than the two lots. So a lot of the concerns that have been mentioned that really are exist for that, and that's why the holding is there. So it really protects council and allows that only to proceed when those boxes are checked, I guess, if you will.
Thank you. And then in regards to the two residences that, for as of right now, there is currently a house that's been sitting there unattended, unmaintained.
Yeah.
I live out there. I moved out there for various reasons. Anyhow, my question is the depth of the existing property where the grass stops and the field continues, I saw 135 feet, I'm not sure the dimensions on that. Are you going beyond what the existing, those two lots, past the existing land that's already designated for residential?
For the two lots that we're proposing? The two lots that are being proposed, yes, are slightly larger than where the house ends. There's a little bit of grassland in behind it for those lots. These are actually quite large, closer to rural estate lots that have been designed for this. Yeah.
Okay, so it doesn't look like it goes that far off. There's houses along McLeod.
Actually, you can see the house underneath. If you look at the A to R1A, underneath it, you can see the house shading that's there. It is slightly larger than what the house is sitting right now on the property.
Slightly 20 feet, 30 feet, 40 feet deeper?
I don't know the number exactly, but it is larger.
Okay,
yeah.
So just for clarification's sake, probably through administration, I mean, a lot of residents have contacted me in regards to their concern, and I have concerns as well. I know it's part of the official plan, and because it's part of the official plan, are we obliged to amend zoning, or what's the legalities, I guess, in regards to halting process?
Well, again, the official plan is the document that tells you where your growth is to be, and this is identified as a settlement area, and it also, it works both ways, and it's similar if someone came in to do agricultural that's not in the settlement area, we would not support that, because that's where the official plan and that whole consultative process to get to that document says, this is where growth should be. And if you look certainly on the map, three sides of it are bounded by residential, which is why that has become the settlement area. And in terms of that length, it still doesn't go to the northern boundary, which is the boundary of the settlement area. So are you obliged? It can always be appealed. And I would suggest that it conforms with our official plan, it conforms with the county's official plan, it conforms with the provincial policy statement. We put a holding on the larger area to make sure that all the studies are found to be in compliance. Our own official plan says that this is where growth should go. So those are the I don't know if I call them hurdles, but those are the facts really with the application, which is why administration is supporting this, because it is in line with those documents. Council can make whatever decision council wants to make. Obviously, then applicants can appeal those decisions, we go to the LPAD and we go through that route. But again, our job is to tell you what complies and what doesn't, and the report is giving you that. And I think that's really why this has been split up as well, to say, okay, this has to be holding because there's some issues that still have to be addressed. And it's obviously a larger parcel versus two lots. We don't have policies in place really to force two lots to go through a subdivision agreement. It's five, right? And I think the county's official plan is four. So having said that, that's why it's broken up the way it is. But it's also, it's also why we have this statutory public meeting, so people can come up and address their comments and concerns. And then it's administration's job then to bring back that report to council and address those concerns. And sometimes that's simply by saying this is what the plans say. Sometimes it's more than that. It depends.
May I? Yes, and to reiterate that you have an official plan policy that provides you direction, and it tells you where residential development should occur, industrial development should occur, and the official plan has been telling public for a number of years, this is an area for development. This portion of land is appropriate within the settlement area for residential, low density residential development. Now, when we came to the town and we had the meeting with planning staff, it was indicated to us, since we're imminent with our plan of subdivision, since we are already designed the site servicing, how it's going to be serviced, the services are available, we've designed the roads, we've designed the lots to be larger than what the bylaw requires, it was recommended to us that we bring in the zoning for the retained portions. Just as a identification to council that, hey, we're almost there, we're imminent with our application, so here it is, it conforms, it's consistent with the PPS, we meet what you have been telling us that you require, which is servicing it in all the direction under the official plan policies. So we request the rezoning, but with the holding, recognizing that you need to have another opportunity to see the details. But at this point, it makes sense to say, consistent with the official plan, we're also going to bring it in line, because your official plan provides you the policy direction. The zoning says this is the rules for that development. So the official plan says, go ahead and develop it for residential. The zoning says, but these are the rules. So what we've said is, let's put the zoning in place on the retained portion, but with a holding until we know exactly all the details and you're comfortable with the plan of subdivision that's coming forward.
So further, there's a couple terms that I'm losing. So low density to me is a house here, a house there. Cul-de-sacs and subdivision homes, I mean, it still probably falls under low density, but living out there and all the Big Creek watershed and the pockets of environmentally protected land, so there's one right across the street from there, which is a woodlot, Ridgewood Lane, and then further to the east, you're not allowed to develop further down because that's also environmentally friendly. And seeing a list of conditions from IRCA that would have to be met, I've got genuine concern with, and I'm not a tree hugger by any stretch, and I'm not anti-development, and I'm not anti, my concerns are how we're handpicking, and I mean, this goes beyond me, it was before my time, and I'm learning on the fly as a new counselor. The official plan to me is how we're handpicking pockets of environmentally friendly lands to cram houses into is concerning where I come from.
Okay, I understand what you're saying, because the challenge with provincial planning is that it is development driven. So you're not going to have an application unless there's an application for development of that property. And because of it, you feel like it's being handpicked, and I get that. From a higher level, your official plan is what gives you the direction. Your official plan is what says, these lands may not be zoned yet, but this is where we want development to occur. And under these conditions do we want the development to occur. So it's actually there, and as you can see in this larger map, it's there and it's very comprehensive, it's very cohesive, it's not piecemeal, it's very much a macro area that shows the residential development that should occur. Okay? Now, speaking to the natural feature of the Big and it has been zoned for. Erkin indicated that, the biologist indicated it. It has been zoned, protected. The buffer area around it has been protected. We're nowhere near even the buffer area. We are, thankfully, outside of that area of influence over the PSW. This has been cropland. MNRF says if it's cropland, any potential habitat's already been disturbed 100 years ago when that farmer took his tractor down it. And because of it, they're not concerned with low grade or off the system. They want that contiguous. They want that whole big picture to be maintained. And that's why they're saying, our issue is protecting Big Creek and the buffer area around it. We're not so concerned about the little pieces. So we're in an area that's been designated for residential, and that's why the clients have been working for years on the design of the subdivision that's going to fit within the neighborhood. You have a neighborhood comprised mainly of those rural residential estate lots. In a lot of municipalities, the size of the lots that are being proposed would not be supported. They're too big. A lot of municipalities are saying, we want smaller lots. But the intent is to maintain that contiguous residential that's comfortable with the neighborhood.
Again, there's no continuity. The only new development that's happened out there, you get the odd spot along the lake where they become available, and that's a hot commodity. McBride is a newer subdivision. Other than that, every other house that's been out there has been pre-existing for a lot of years, and a lot of them are actually cottages, not estate lots, not little small cottages, cottage country. So each little pocket of environmentally protected land is there, and I understand that this portion hasn't been, but it's been zoned agricultural. So again, before my time, and I'm learning on the fly in regards to official plans and whether official plans can be amended, which now I'm going to delve deeper into what our official plan states for strategic spots like this, which are concerning to not just myself, but other residents that it affects. So
this can be considered infilling from that perspective that you're talking about. There's different planning terminology that we use. There's new greenfield development, there's this, there's that. This is not, it's not an extension of existing development. It's not introducing development to a new area. It's very much infilling from what's already existing there. And infilling is actually supported because it provides that continuous, if you take a look at McLeod, it will provide that continuous frontage on McLeod.
And I'm okay with the frontage along McLeod. I mean, going back deeper into cul-de-sacs, again, it doesn't fit the profile up there. It's concerning to me. McBride's kind of off on its own, and that was developed before my time. But this is, if you drove, obviously you've been out there.
I've been out there, yeah.
So two cul-de-sacs with brand new homes does not fit the profile or the region, as far as I'm concerned. Like I said, with a woodlot and spacing between houses, and now we're going to have house on house on house on house.
Oh, it won't be house on house. They're large estate lots. They're actually quite substantial.
How many lots are there in regards to the holding R1 area? I don't
know. Well, at this point, we've got a rough estimate that we're looking at 14 lots.
14 new dwellings.
Yeah. But that's an issue for the
subdivision discussion. Yeah, I understand that. Okay.
Right? So tonight what we're looking at is a request which, from a planning perspective, makes sense. We're infilling, it's residential, it fits within the neighborhood. The lots are comparable to what's already existing there. We're looking at rezoning for two lots. The retained portion absolutely has a holding provision on it, which gives council that comfort zone, that comfort in knowing that we're going to have to come back.
Okay, to administration. There's a lot of question marks because a lot of people, you hear all the time about a farmer that wants to sever part of his field, put a couple residential lots, and it seems like everything gets turned down. So I guess, I mean, this can be discussed after the fact, but official plans, when it goes into play, what agricultural lands, usually it's urban sprawl. I get the immediate abutting agricultural lands like second concession, and it starts to work its way up there at the subdivision. We've got Meadowview now, and the next phase would probably be the farm field across the street on Malosh. So I understand that, but my concern is we're handpicking certain spots. What's the criteria to change or to
Yeah, through you, Mayor, we're not handpicking, you're doing it in accordance with your planning documents, so it's not arbitrary. So when we do get requests, and we do get them often for someone wanting to create residential and agricultural, I'd say 9.5 times out of 10, it's because it's not in our primary settlement area, and there's no services there. And this is why that growth for the sake of growth versus managed growth, to put the growth where you want it, where you have services and you have that ability to grow, is exactly what you want to do. And that's what your official plan does. So it's not handpicking. It's not arbitrary. We would, if someone wanted to make an application in spite of the planning department saying it wouldn't be supported, it'd be a different report in front of you. It would say, this is agricultural land that is not within our settlement boundary. The PPS does not support it. Our official plan doesn't support it. The county's official plan doesn't support it. So those would be the recommendations. Then you could do the same thing and decide what you want to do. But again, then if that was appealed, here are all the things in our favor. So again, I wouldn't say we make our decisions and write our reports based on the planning documents we have. It's also why it's cyclical. You do a development charges study every 5 years. You do an official plan update every so many years. You do community strategic plan updates every year because things do change. But at the time, and what we're looking at is an area that our official plan, the county's official plan, the PPS say is where the growth should be versus a place where it shouldn't be. And you can get a lot of questions, and I understand that. But that's the documents we use as our Bibles, if you will, to give recommendations to council. So it is well-reasoned, and we do take the comments from IRCA and all that. And a lot of these comments are really related to the larger portion. I get that. Mm-hmm. And we will, we do walk people through those documents and try to bring council a document eventually that has all the T's crossed and the I's dotted. So that's really the process, and that's why when you look at this parcel, it's supported by those documents, which is why we have, that's why we're here today. And if it wasn't, we would say that. Still have the statutory public meeting and still bring it back. And these meetings are valid because sometimes things do come out that, you know, we have to address. And we address those through our guiding documents.
Okay, two last questions, I promise. The McLeod pump house station, this has all been, in the report it does state that. So again, everything can facilitate the plumbing and,
yes,
and all the infrastructure,
yes,
out there. There's no issues.
Nope.
Okay, and the last thing is the habitat. You said it. There doesn't seem to be any habitat because of it was agricultural. I drive by it every morning. You got to see the deer. You got to see the red fox. You got to see the coyotes. You got to see, there's a lot of wildlife out there in that field that we're talking about right now that, you know, they don't just stick around the shores of Big Creek and don't venture off and around. So I take, not offense, but we're seeing things differently, obviously, development versus natural habitat. There's a lot of habitat that actually.
And as you can see, the area around the area of interest, that zoned A, it's the gray area up there, it's not intended to change. This is where we're concentrating and we're focusing the development.
Thank you.
I just got a comment then. The graph that you had just before that with the gray area.
Sorry.
First thing I got to do is get you to state your name.
Sorry, Dan Reynolds. My backyard runs up to this field. Yeah, right there.
Oh, that one.
For the last 3 or 4 years, it's been a deer go right into that gray area, almost behind those houses, and has dates, whatever deer do. So it is habitat.
There has not been any indication from MNRF.
Well, of course,
or
not. They're out there all the time. We are there all the time. You see it tonight. There was 9 deer right back there.
Those deer will stay there, but they will now proceed in the other area in behind.
Guaranteed? No.
Well, they normally do.
Yep.
Pat Freelak, my backyard is the first lot. When you look at the two large ones, the one you said is a pole barn back there.
We're on 3939 concession 37.
So we've been back here since 2005. At one time, there was a bush. Almost probably half acre worth of bush, which has been taken down, which he now farms. He didn't farm before, now he farms, right? And we had fox snakes, gardener snakes, you said deer in the backyard, the odd possum that's in the river, but intention when we purchased our home, we were told that it's protected by IRCA.
That nobody would be.
Nobody could build back there. So that was one reason we bought that home. And the things that are going on right now there, Maren, I haven't seen nobody up there. I seen somebody, what, 7, 8 years ago, come out and like measure, do their measurement stuff. I've seen no one out there looking for deer. I've seen no one out there doing that. I've seen no one checking for snakes. I have snakes in my backyard every summer.
We have fox snakes.
There are snakes and fox snakes here every year. I have one living under my furnace.
And quite likely they all stay there. Even with the development, they fox snakes and mouse.
I seen a dead fox snake from his lawnmower when he was upset because we're complaining about the bush he took down with the permit. So you can't say they're not gonna go there. When they're building them homes, what's gonna happen? They live there now.
That truly is decided by IRCA and the ministry. So I mean, if they say that it is okay to build there, then it is okay to build there. Yep.
Nancy Trillad, I'm obviously his wife. Who's going to take care, well, I wanna know, okay, when all of that goes in, even the two houses that you're proposing, is that gonna help my backyard from not flooding? Or is it gonna flood more?
I don't know your circumstance, but I do know that part of the residential plan of subdivision is taking a look at stormwater management. For this property, with the stormwater management that will be designed for the subdivision, will probably help to alleviate the issue that you're dealing with.
Where are they gonna send it? Where are they gonna send the water? Cause right now my backyard floods with the farmer's field back there.
Yeah, and I'm concerned that if you put two large homes and then develop the whole area,
the subdivision will be designed with stormwater management, and part of the Drainage Act in Canada, in Ontario, is that we do not shed onto your property. So with the controlled stormwater, it will alleviate that from your backyard.
Is there guarantees?
Well, from our perspective, we will contain the water on our property and eliminate it. So if it's shedding from this farm field onto your property, then yes, quite likely we'll alleviate that issue.
But if you have low spots that are flooding for that reason, I mean, that's your property.
So if they build higher and it runs into my yard, am I gonna have more of an issue?
Well, those are all considerations that have to be made once they get in there with the plan of subdivision and start looking at stormwater management and all these things that have to be considered. And they do have to meet all those conditions prior to building. Yes.
Myself, 937 concession. I've been there almost 20 years. First year I went, moved there, there was a bush, but Pat was talking about it. It was all kind of wild. Like, I had my dog, I could go out there, I'd see all kind of garter snakes. And since that bush has been taken down, you don't see them anymore. So they're gone. They ain't coming back because the bush was taken out. And another thing that gets me is the hedgerow we took out a couple of last year or 2 years ago, how they get away with that. That was right by Good Creek getting into that field where the hedgerow. Anybody remember that? Or?
Well, it doesn't make any sense. You buy the property to farm it, and now he wants to make money off it. Not farming, his family business. He wants to build homes. And out there, that's not, to me, I know I'm obviously one-sided because I live out there. And the whole reason I moved up there, because I was told by Bill Sutton, they can't build behind
us. Yeah, there was going to be nobody behind us. We have nobody on the other side of us.
There's
a
lot.
We have one neighbor, pretty much.
I get trying to want to build down McLeod. I totally get that. If you want to put a row of houses down McLeod and make your lot 200 feet or 250 feet deep, but a subdivision. There's no subdivisions. Like, this town is, I don't mean to get angry, but we're looking at Boblo, you're looking at Ramaco, you're taking that out. That's a prime year. Subdivision there. There's a ton of land you can build subdivisions close to. I mean, you're getting into pristine area here. Not because I live there, but you know, the value of my house is going to drop into a subdivision. I mean, that's, you know, that's the main selling point. When I moved there, it was open field.
Could I get your name again? Sorry.
Rick Sell.
Rick?
C-E-L.
Yes.
Robert Smith, 596 McLeod. I also have a small potentially a one-way in, one-way out. Not only am I concerned with the previous comments, but the addition of now 25 more lots, we could all agree, two cars per lot. It's a very underserviced road, that area of McLeod, and that intersection of Lake Erie, or the third concession and McLeod that crosses there, it's essentially the only way in and out of that area. McBride came in about 15 years ago or so, we saw an uptick in traffic, and I sit outside my mom's house at 5:45 many afternoons, and I watched, and this is a separate issue, that the speed limits and the stop signs may get abused a little bit. To add that much more traffic to that area, where are these roads gonna blow out to? Is it gonna be right in front of my house, which would be dangerously close to the stop sign? Is it gonna be down the next block, next to Mr., across from Mr. Belver here behind me? Either way, I feel that it's just way too much traffic on that road as there is. I've watched pretty much every single lot in that area you can see have been handpicked or they've been sold off over the years, built on. I feel like the traffic amount in that area is basically at a max right now. I don't think it's, as Mr. Courtney said, not fitting with anything that we do that's been done out there in the previous generations. So. And I understand that where a road would come out, you're talking about two cul-de-sacs. Is that two areas you're going to be blown out? School bus path, I know it's a great spot for subdivision, so to speak, but I agree with the gentleman behind me that many other places to put some.
If I may, through you, Mayor, generally speaking, most subdivisions have a traffic impact study. So that's one of those things that we would look at in terms of the ingress and egress and any additional
road. I agree,
road.
But I can tell you right now, traffic impact study or not, there's way too much traffic on that road as it is. Yeah, it's just telling that. That's one just another reason why I'd be opposed to that.
Again, what we would do is we would ask for a consultant to provide us with the impact the additional traffic would have based on traffic generation reports and if there is any additional load and how it will be dealt with.
Deputy Mayor, you're next.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I agree with the comments that I understand the concerns of the residents. So it's a nice area over there. But Mr. Galvin, indicated that everything is suited for development here in terms of it meets what IRCA's asking for, it meets all of the various guidelines, our official plan, and it's difficult, it would be very difficult for us to turn this down and not see some kind of an appeal. It's an infill, I agree it's an infill. I hear there's a buffer zone, we have a buffer zone, so we've got some of these safeguards in place. Yes, the traffic, we need a traffic study if that's an issue, but we've got buffers. We've got, again, the situation about the infill. It's not that we're expanding outside into a new area. It's filling in a void of land. So I really can't see why we shouldn't be continuing with the administration's recommendation or pursuing the administration's recommendation at this time. I mean, it just meets all of the criteria.
And just further to that, again, Council, the only thing you're being asked to do tonight is to receive the report and allow administration to bring back another report where you would vote on it. So we will take the comments and write a report and come back to Council. As for, I'd say the bulk of the comments are related to the larger parcel. That won't become relevant until administration would make the recommendation to Council to remove that holding symbol, which could take a while, depending. I think you heard the applicant say they've already been working on this for a couple of years, and given the agencies involved, it could take some time. So, I don't mean that in a negative, I'm just trying to be a realist. So, but again, the only thing tonight, this is a statutory meeting to gather information so that we can bring back a report for Council's consideration at a future meeting.
Council Prue.
Yes, I have a question, and I wondered why the two lots were severed off, and I'm still wondering this. This appears to me to be a plan of subdivision for 25 units. That's the long-term goal. Am I wrong at that?
Yeah, that's correct.
That's correct. But we're carving off two tonight, and I think the carving off is premature. The reason I think it's premature, and I go right back to the staff report on page 5, and I quote, the Public Works Department states, is there an expectation that there will be more lots better control of the development and not just piecemeal severances. And they're talking about the sewage and the drainage problem and everything that's been brought up here today. I am reluctant to approve the two tonight. I don't mind putting a holding on the whole thing, but I want to tell you, putting the holding, this is a long shot application, in my view. This is a long shot application. It's taken Mr. Abercrombie on Botwell 8 years, and it's still not finished. And it's taken millions of dollars, and it's not nearly so environmentally sensitive as this one. And I haven't asked the staff to at the same time. The town found itself in an impossible situation when they did not make it, the town could not make a decision, nor could the county, because the Ontario government, First Nations, and everyone else who was involved, again on Bravo, didn't make, and then the developer went off to the OEB, claiming that we didn't make a decision. And unless we keep the whole thing within a holding, we're going to be subject to that again. Mark my words, even if we just let two lots go ahead, if it takes a long, long time, this won't be in front of us. It'll be in front of the OMB or whatever it's called.
Can I speak to it? The larger parcel, that is the plan of subdivision that will be coming forward to council at a later date. That's not under question tonight as to what agencies we still have to go through, et cetera. We're asking for a holding provision because we do know that we still have some work to do on it. But the site servicing and the issues relating to a consent have all been satisfied. That's why the request is for two consents at this point. Because we know we have some time, we know we have some work with some of the agencies. The official plan allows for, within the settlement area, the residential development that we're proposing. And it allows for up to five consents. We've said two is appropriate for right now. We know how they're going to be serviced. We know the size is larger than what's required under the minimum. We know that it'll be larger residential, appropriate for the neighborhood, and meets the official plan for the town. It seemed appropriate to proceed with two consents at this point. The rest of the plan of subdivision, we're working through those processes.
And if I may, through you, Mayor, that's our own Amherst policy, allows for consents of up to five. So this has been done in the past, and this is sort of our normal protocol. I understand, and I don't know if Todd wants to speak to the comment from Public Works or not, but that's why it was limited to two, which our own policy, the Land Sergeant's policy, says a creation of five or less. So that's why this application has been limited to two for the, and then the rest would have to go through subdivision agreement. But again, you know, we can address that in the report back to council and quote exactly where that is, which is not in this report, which may satisfy the council or not, that's fine. But we can certainly do that when we bring the report back to council.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, that's a, Mr. Galvin is correct. It is definitely a part of the town's policy, and it's one where Public Works often struggles. Consents are far less onerous to get through. There's less studies to require, and that's why Public Works in this comment said that we like to see it as a larger group so that we can, it goes through a more stringent process, let's say. But certainly the town's planning documents certainly allow for these consents. We run into them in other locations. Public Works will ensure that any sort of drainage or sewage issues are taken care of with respect to these two sites. And as the larger site develops, planning-wise, we will continue to provide comments and input there.
Deputy Mayor.
Again, we're going around the ground, but all we're being asked tonight is, you know, to look at, you know, to be received and summarized for another meeting. And I guess we keep, you know, setting up roadblocks here. I think we need to just let it go take its course and let administration come back to us with a full report. You know, hearing all or building in the concerns of the residents. We need need to get more information.
Are you making that motion?
Yes, I will make the motion that, that the 3.1 be received, recommendation moved as presented.
Is there a second? Councilor MacArthur, any final comments or questions? Councilor Prue?
Yeah, I just have some problems. I would like to, I think it's premature, the application for the two. I would like to see it put together and dubbed as one package. The reason the town does this is so people know, five or less applications can be dealt with by the town. Five or more applications have to be dealt with by the county. That's the law. So here it is, you can get two applications, the town can do it, but the county who looks at the big picture will never get a chance. I think this is a 25-unit subdivision. I don't see it as 2 and 23. I see it as 25. And if we're going to do it, it should all be one application. It should all be subject to the laws of Ontario. It should be subject to the Endangered Species Act. It should be subject to the drainage. It should be subject to the roads. It should be subject to the sewage and the availability of the sewage treatment. Kids going to school. There's a whole bunch of stuff that the county looks at. This is not going to be looked at, in my view, in an appropriate way. I agree with staff when they said this is the town's policy. I don't particularly enjoy the town's policy. I'd like to see planning done in a proper way, not a piecemeal way. So I cannot support the application.
Through you, Mayor, again, we would look at all of those items in a further report, and council could, at that point, I would suggest you give administration a chance to address the comments today by both the residents and councilors, and have a fulsome debate at a future meeting where the recommendation would be either to, right now the recommendation is to do neither. So it's just to do what we're trying to do through the Planning Act, to have the statutory public meeting. Again, my recommendation would be to allow us to bring that report back and then make those points, and then vote on the subject matter of the application at that time, or make any amendments or recommendation changes as council sees fit. But this is really just our first stage in the process, and the process allows for this consultation to the public, and we without a report back, it just sort of sits out there. And we've had that happen actually at the last council, if I recall, and we had to bring a report to council for clarification, because even the applicant was saying, well, what can I appeal or what can I can't? So it does provide some clarity when it comes back to council. If council decides to do A, then there's appeal routes, and if they decide to do B, there's other appeal routes. So this is the first step, and this is how the Planning Act is intended to work. So we would bring back a report, address the concerns, make a recommendation, and at that point council can choose to follow it or not. But it would provide clarity, I would suggest, not only to council but to residents and the applicant alike.
Councilor MacArthur.
Yeah, and just to be clear, like, I seconded the motion, but it's because of that reason we're going to get a report with more information, with all of the public's input in that report, with Councilor Prue's comments as well. If we could address that, I mean, is this, as he says, a subdivision by stealth, or is this something that is normal in other municipalities? Are we an aberration here? I'd like some clarity on that, because if it is, I think it's a good point worth considering, and I'm not equipped to consider it today, but to have it in the report, I think information is power, so I'd like to get more information before we either reject it out of hand and get in some kind of a jackpot, because it satisfies every document we have before us, or not. So I think more information is key.
Councilor Courtney.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So again, so if we receive it as presented tonight, it can be changed by council to holding as a piece of land, or is this going to be treated as two moving forward at the next meeting?
You're not changing the zoning tonight. You're receiving a report and allowing us to come back. The next council meeting, you would be asked to vote on something substantive. And that would allow us, again, administratively, to address the concerns that have been raised tonight. To your satisfaction or not, we'll have to wait and see. But I think I'll dovetail on Councilor MacArthur's point. I think it gives us the ability to bring more information based on what was raised here tonight, and it may satisfy concerns or it may not, but I think that that step should be followed so that we have the ability to do that. And then, again, it also gives another round for people, residents that maybe couldn't have attended tonight, that they get to come as well, and the applicant as well. So it gives another round of really that consultation process, which if we don't have that tonight, we're sort of stuck in a no man's land, I guess, if you will, without really a vote on whether or not to approve the zoning. You're just basically saying don't receive the report, which kind of ends us in a very strange situation, which I know we've had before, and we had to come back to a previous council for clarity to say what was the real intention, because it happened very fast at that time. Then we got that clarity and we could move forward.
Okay, then I'm willing to support receiving it as is right now, and they're waiting for the next phase.
Okay, any other comments? All those in favor? Carried? Opposed? And motion to adjourn.